A brand new, I guess, it's probably going to be a series of lessons, but they'll be a little bit different. But we're going to start something today. Oh, by the way, I need to ask this real quick. Beverly is in need of somebody to move some furniture out of her house, a queen-size bed, a desk, and some boxes, and I think a stack of gold, something like that. Isn't that right? No? Okay. About seven pieces of furniture. There's a trailer on site, but she just needs some able bodies that could come move that. If you can do that between tomorrow or Friday, that would be great. I cannot do it then. If it's next week, I'll be asking for help on Sunday. But if you want to kind of jump ahead of me, that would be just fine. If you want to do that while I'm gone the next couple days, that'd be fine. See Beverly about that. Okay, now, let me get into this. So, questions of our day. Notice this is the title that I've chosen here. Questions of our day. On Sunday, I preached a message that is really kind of probably the third or fourth that kind of has a similar flavor, and as we're talking about our responsibilities, and you got that, Beverly? Yes, my phone goes off like that when I turn it off too. it's fine. But we're talking about we're looking at questions. I decided that on Sunday, as I was talking about these, we're approaching a time now in our world where it is time to get serious. I just don't know any other way to say it. It is time to be serious as followers of God. And when I say that, I know it's always been the case that we should be serious. But I don't know any other way to say it now. It's more important now than ever because we are facing crises that most Christians aren't even aware of. And that's kind of where I feel like I'm trying to find my role in this. I'm trying to find our leader's role in this. We're trying to sift through this. There's so much talk in our world right now. There's this, a prime example. We're having issues with these microphones because, you know why? Because there's so much in the airwaves right now. There's all kinds of things going on in the airwaves, all kinds of messages, all kinds of phones. There are more cell phones in America than there are people right now. Did you know that? And so we've got this, there's so much going on, there's so much chatter, and we have got to learn to sift through that. So I'm going to jump right in here. Let's start with a little trivia here tonight. Can anybody tell me what is the very first question that's recorded? I would say, in modern man's history, but we could say in Scripture, what's the very first question that was ever asked and recorded in writing? What was the very first question? Not quite. That's about the fourth or the fifth. We're going to get to that one, though. But you're on the right. You're on the hunt. What's the very first question? Now, we're going through this. So Genesis 1 and 2, that was more creation and God setting everything up. What's the first question? That's question number three, I think. First question. I'll give you a hint. It wasn't asked by a person. It wasn't asked by God. Dave?
How much are you going to save on my car?
That is not it, Dave. It was asked by a snake. Beverly, it was. What was the question he asked? Well, let's just look at it. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. Let's take a look at it. Here we go. You ready? Now the serpent. Who's the serpent, by the way? The devil and Satan. That's made pretty clear in the book of the Revelation. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said?" Now this is a New King James Version I'm putting up here, trying to bring some harmony among all the different versions that might be in here. I prefer the King James where he said, "Yea hath God said." There's something about that for me, just "Yea hath God said." And he said, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" That's the very first question that's ever been recorded as having been said. And it was said by Satan to whom? To Eve. We want to get these facts straight because we're gonna really dissect what takes place in this chapter here tonight. So that's the first question. What is the second question then? So the second question, we'll just go ahead and take a look at it. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. What's the second question asked? This one was asked by God. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Where are you? Or where art thou? In the King James. So, first question was asked by Satan to Eve. Second question is asked by God to whom? To Adam. And he says, "Where are you?" All right, the third question just follows this up. But now, before we get to the third question, let me tell you what Adam's response was, or you tell me. What was Adam's response when he said, "Where are you?" Did Adam say, "Yep, over here"? No, You'll notice something peculiar in all these questions. Nobody ever answers them directly. None of these questions are answered directly. When Satan asked the question, Eve probably came the closest. We're going to look at her response in a minute. She probably came the closest of all the participants to actually answering the questions that were asked of her. And that probably is pretty significant, which we'll talk about why in just a couple of minutes. But Adam said to God, when he said, "Where are you?" he didn't answer it directly. In fact, let's just go ahead and take a look. Verse 10. So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." Now, notice he didn't just answer the question, but he said, "I heard your voice, I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Now, watch verse number 11. Here's the third question, probably the most important. And he, that's God, and God said, "Who told you that you were naked?" Now that's the third question. The fourth one is, it follows that, "Have you eaten of the tree?" and so forth. But we're not even going to really get into that so much. But God is asking Adam now the question. He said, "Who told you that you are naked?" Now we're going to take these first three questions, and I want to kind of go back and I want to rework these. And I want us to sort of summarize what these three questions really are. Because, it's just very, very important. So let's take it. We go back to this, to the first one. Can we go back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1? And this is the one where Satan was asking the question of Eve, and he said, "Has God said?" Has God indeed said? We could summarize this first question this way, I believe. It's a question about God's word or God's authority, right? I think that's pretty obvious, yes? He is questioning Eve, and he's saying, "Is this really what God said? Is this really what God said? Did he say that?" Do you hear sarcasm in, when you read this yourself and you kind of picture this? Hey, buddy, when you picture this this dialogue going on between Satan and Eve, do you hear sarcasm in Satan's voice? Kind of almost vilifying God, almost insinuating, if God really said that, I mean, are you kidding me? Did God really say that? Did he really say you would die? You with me? You hear that too, yes? Okay, so here's the question. So we can say this is the first question ever asked of mankind by Satan, was questioning God's word or his authority. The second question is, the second question we found in verse number 9. And this is where God said to Adam, "Where are you? Where are you?" Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that God knew physically where Adam was? So did God ask Adam, "Where are you?" because God needed to know where he was physically? In fact, did God need to know anything about where Adam was? So why is he asking him this question? Why is God asking Adam? It can't be for God's benefit. And since it's only God and Adam, whose benefit must it be for? For Adam's. You see, God is asking Adam a question to get Adam to think, right? And what he's really getting at is not so much where are you physically, right? Where are you at, Adam? Where are you at? Where are you? That's how we say it in Ohio, by the way. Where are you at? Put that preposition at the end. And it's terrible grammar. But that's what he's asking. He's saying, "Hey, where do you stand? Where are you standing right now, Adam? You know, where are you? What is going on with you?" You follow me? So the first question, Satan is questioning God's authority. The second question is from God, and he's saying, "Adam, what's going on with you? What are you thinking? Where are you? Where are you on what I've said to you?" You get that? Somebody have a comment? Dave?
I'm thinking, like, was it like $1 million or something? I mean,
No, God is speaking very spiritually here to Adam. God is coming down here, and Adam and Eve have chosen. We know that Adam and Eve chose to give in to Satan. We know that the sin took place. And what God is trying to get Adam to focus on is, where do you now stand, Adam? Where do you think you stand? You know, how do you think our relationship is right now, Adam? Because I gave a command, and serpent questioned it. You gave in. Now, where do you think we stand right now? And where do you stand on what I've said? Doesn't this kind of sound like what God could probably be asking all of his kids right now? Where do you stand? Where do you stand on this? So that's the second question. The third question, though, is the one that's most important, I believe. I think the third question is the one where God is really, again, he doesn't need the information himself. He wants Adam to start thinking about what Adam has been doing. So watch the third question then as we get to verse number 11. And he said, "Who told you that you were naked?" Now, what God is really asking there is, to whom have you been listening? Or, again, as we say here in Ohio, who you been listening to? Who's got your ear? Right? So, if we're going to summarize these three verses, these three questions, rather, the first thing was that God's word or God's authority has been questioned. The second one, God is asking man where he stands on things. And the third one is God's asking each one of us, who are you listening to? What voices are you listening to? Whose opinions are you filling your heart and your spirit with? And again, it's not that God doesn't know. The problem is he wants Adam to think about it. And I believe God wants us to think about those same questions. I think if God came down physically right now, he could ask us the same two questions that he asked Adam. Where do you stand? And who are you listening to? So that's kind of where we're going here tonight. You know, the first question I think is going on. By the way, I think the first question is going on all the time, isn't it? Is God's word not being questioned constantly now in our world? Is God's authority being questioned constantly in our world? Sure it is. And I think God is also, though, asking the two questions that he asked. Now, Adam and Eve were confronted and with the exact same situation that we are. And basically, there's God's way and then there's every other way. There's God's opinion. There's every other opinion. And as believers today, I think we need to start putting ourselves in both Eve's position and Adam's position. So I want us to all become Eve for just a minute, okay? So when the serpent came to Eve and said, "Yea, hath God said," or he said, you know, did God really say this? I want us to all stop and think, what if he came to us and said that? What if Satan came to us and said, "Hey, does the Bible really say," and then you fill in a blank? I wonder if we would know. I wonder if we would have an answer. See, I'm looking at Eve's response. Now, Eve actually was very confident at first. Look, okay, let's a little test here. What if Satan came to you and said, "Hey, does the Bible say you ought to go to church? Does God really say you ought to go to church? Does God really say you ought to give money to the church? Does it? Can you tell me where?" Okay. Can the average Christian tell me where? Think about it. Hey, is God okay with you? Pick a sin. Somebody pick a sin. Come on, pick a sin. What's your favorite sin, Mauricio? You're welcome. Is God really say that the only kind of sex that's okay is within marriage by a man and a woman? This is 2020. Your God really believes? No. Can you tell me where in Scripture it says that? Yeah, and again, I don't mean, you know, do you have, you know, I'm not asking anybody to be a concordance and say, "Oh yeah, this, and this." But I mean, can we? Do we know for sure? Do you know? Would you be willing to risk your home on it right now that The Bible actually says that. It's quiet though, huh? How about you at home? Sitting at home. You going to risk your home? You going to risk that big TV you're watching me on? By the way, how do I look on a big TV? And none of our people have a big TV. So, look. I mean, how sure are any of us of what God really said? Because watch Eve. Let's look at Eve's response. She's real confident at first. The woman said to the serpent, "We can eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden." Look, she's being very specific. "The fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Right? She's confident, yes? What happens to this confidence in the next verse? By the way, what happens in the next verse? I'm not going to put it up there. Yeah, what does he say to her? That was his question. He said, well, and then he follows it up with, "You're not really going to die." Is he telling the truth there? Halfway. Ish, yeah. But all he had to do was get her to entertain the thought that maybe that's not true. Right? And she threw it all away. That quick. He said, "You're not really going to die." And we know that she took the fruit and then she gave it to her husband. Now, here's my question for you, and here's what I want us to think about here. Because here, let me ask you this, and I want you to give this some thought. Do you think that Eve, after she was challenged on this, do you think Eve doubted what God said? Do you think she sat back and said, "Well, maybe he didn't actually say that. Maybe that wasn't what he said. Let's see, it was like last week, and we were talking about this, and I thought he said that. I'm pretty sure he said that." Do you think she was questioning what God actually said, or do you think she was questioning whether or not it was true? That's a big question. Because if she was questioning what he said, can't she go fix that? Can't she say, "Time out, I'll be right back," and go ask Adam? Or try to get God on the line? Try to go back? Don't you think God would come to her aid? And if she said, "God, I can't remember for sure. I've been questioned about this. It's been challenged. I can't remember exactly what you said. Would you please say it again?" Don't you think God would do that? Sure he would. We have a Bible. All we have to do is go look it up. All we have to do is knock the dust off and crack it open and find it, you know. But she could have found that out. But it's a whole different thing if she was questioning whether or not God really meant it, whether or not it was really true, if God really is going to be true to what he said. Do you see the difference? There's a big difference. So what do you think? I ask you to be Eve. Do you think she was questioning what God said, or was she questioning whether or not it was true? Why do you say that, Leah? Leah says whether or not it was true. Why do you say that? She seems pretty confident in what God said to the detail. And didn't she also go ahead and go through with it? Didn't she also go ahead and violate it? If she thought it was true, what's that? Yeah. And she decided, you know what? It looks like a risk I'm willing to take. That's what I think. That's what it seems like. Right, Doug? Yeah. Yeah. He got her to consider that what, in fact, he got, it sounds like he got her to consider that what God said was almost preposterous. You know, kind of like when God says, hey, I'd love for you to give 10% to my work. 10% of my income? Are you kidding me? You know, I'd love for you to, you know, go to church every time the doors are open. Are you kidding me? Sunday morning and Wednesday night? And that's, you know, man, I remember growing up, it was Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday mornings, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revivals. Man, I remember as a kid hating a three-day revival. And my grand, well, I did as a kid because I was a horrible kid. And you probably would. But I'm sitting here thinking 3 days, how horrible that was. Man, it was nothing back in the day for a three-week revival on a hard bench. It was nothing. Look, you read the Bible, we'll find out that God's people stood for hours on end. And they weren't getting preached to, they were getting read to. Can you imagine if I came in here on a Sunday morning? Hey, watch. Can you imagine if I came in here on a Sunday morning, got my Bible out, and just started reading to you for an hour and a half? Correct. But my point is, we are not the same people that our grandparents were, and that our forefathers were, and that the Israelites were. Because, I mean, they would stand there. Now, I got off track here. But the point is, all Satan had to do was get her to consider that God was being preposterous in what he's saying. Yeah. And that he didn't really mean it, or that he lied. Whoa. I didn't say he lied, Harold. Satan said it. That's basically what he said, didn't he? Didn't he accuse God of being a liar? He either accused God of being a liar or being a horrible person, a horrible God, a bully, right? You got to kill him? You got to kill somebody for that. You see what I mean? So what we have here is we have Eve is, this is not as simple as we make it out to be. Look, this is not this coloring page we all did in Sunday school. You know, where Adam's standing there and Eve's standing there and she's got more leaves in front of her than Adam has. And there's an apple hanging from a tree and this cute little serpent hanging there and we colored the picture, right? It's not like that. There's a lot going on here. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He made it out to be something evil. Kind of like what happens in our news media right now. Have you ever watched a press conference? Especially a White House press conference? You talk about phrasing questions in a way to make something look that's not bad look bad. That's what we have. That's what we get. Now look, so this is not that foreign of a concept, is it, folks? This is not something that we're not accustomed to because we see this kind of thing going on all the time. All right, so Eve probably doubted whether or not God said it was true. Do you think she went forward? Now, here's the next question, though. This is important, too. Do you think she went forward with her disobedience because she didn't believe it was true or because she didn't care about the consequences? She didn't believe the consequences would be there. In other words, let me rephrase. Do you think she went forward with it not based on whether it was right or wrong, but based on whether or not she was going to get any consequences? She didn't think the consequences would be there, right? Did she? She did not think she was going to die. She didn't believe. And so when the consequences went away, so did her conscience. Let that sink in a minute. When the consequences don't seem real, that's where we really know whether or not we really have a conscience. If you think you can get away with something and you're more inclined to then do it, doesn't that say something about us? As opposed to, well, I'm not going to do it because it's wrong, or I am going to do it because it's right. That's different than, well, I'm not going to do that because I don't want God to judge me. I feel like this is a lot, speaks a lot to Christianity today. See, we talked about this verse months ago. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes that says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of men is set to do evil, something like that. Basically what it says is, the longer the delay between consequences, the more likely somebody is to sin. You remember when you were a kid and your mom said, if you don't stop, I'm going to spank you when I get you home. By the way, that's what they did back in the day. Don't send me emails about spanking kids. I'm not telling you to do that. It's probably too late. Your kid's already a brat. So, but there was a time when that would have been very helpful to you. It's what the Bible says. But my point is, but remember, it's like, oh, mom's going to forget all about that by the time I get home. Not your mom. Not Joyce's mom. No. But most moms, and so kids don't feel the urgency of that. And so it doesn't carry the same weight. And that says something about our human nature, right? So that was Eve. Now let's talk about Adam for a minute. So let's talk about Adam. So Eve, we know, she was manipulated. She was tricked, we could kind of say. She wasn't sure about all the facts. There was something, even if she questioned God, the truth is, when she went forward, there was a huge question mark in her mind about whether or not God had actually said it or whether or not he meant it. Are we all agreed on that? What about Adam, though? Was it the same for Adam? Because Eve took the fruit to Adam, or the act, whatever, we're not going to get into that now, but she convinced Adam to sin in the same way. She brought him into it, right? And he did it. Now the question is, did he know? Was he clear on what God had said? Well, let's take a look at some scripture and see. How about 1 Timothy chapter 2? Let's find out. Joyce says yes, Adam knew everything that was going on. She's basically a man-hater. But, I mean, look at who she's married to, wouldn't you be? So, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. Adam was formed first, then Eve. Now that's just, God's making a distinction here, right? God wants to make sure we're clear here through the Apostle Paul. He's writing to Timothy. He wants to make sure we're clear on what's going on here, that there's a difference between Adam and Eve. Adam was formed first, then Eve. Now watch verse 14. And Adam was not deceived. Well, that's pretty clear. I wonder what God meant by that. Pretty clear, right? Adam wasn't deceived. Adam wasn't tricked. Adam knew exactly what God had said, and yet he chose to sin anyway. Eve, however, was deceived and fell into the transgression. Now watch. So God is making a distinction here between children, his children, those who know clearly what he says and choose to sin, and those who are not clear on it, they're not really sure on it, they're questioning some things, but they choose to sin, they choose to do it also. So God makes a distinction here in terms of where people are, right? That's kind of why he was asking Adam, where are you? But now watch, can I ask you a question? Didn't they both get the consequences? In fact, Eve sounded a lot worse than Adam's, if you read it. Think about it. They both felt the consequences for their choice. Eve was deceived. Eve was tricked. Adam knew what he was doing, but they both faced the consequences because of it. Now, that is, in my opinion, that's a really important point, because what we have, if we're going to kind of summarize this, we have a very powerful force of darkness that deceives some, and gets them to do wrong, gets them to sin against God. But there are some children of God that know perfectly well what God has to say about things. And yet they still choose to do the same thing as those who are questioning whether it's right or wrong. Am I the only one who sees this in Christianity today? You see this also? Do we see this in society? Do you think there's anybody on the face of the earth Beverly. We're going to have to get a teenager into your house to teach you how to work that phone. Listen, what was I saying? I forgot what I was saying now. That's going to cost you. So, look, we have this going on in our world right now. There's a powerful force of darkness that is trying to get people, either knowingly or unknowingly, to not do God's word. It's very crystal clear to me as we look at this then that it becomes very, very important. Two things are crystal clear. One is that we need to not be like Eve, not knowing for sure what God said. We need to not be like Eve was, being so unknowledgeable that we can have our beliefs shaken so easily with one question. Well, and that's a great question that we probably would have to tease that out for a long time. He asked the question, is it knowledgeable or is it faith? I think the being sure of the knowledge is where we put our faith. You know, in other words, we will act upon something that we're confident about. The more confident we are of something, the more we're willing to act on it. Have any of you ever been to the Grand Canyon? You've been to the Grand Canyon? Have you been there since they built that walkway that goes out there that's glass? Did you walk on that? Yeah, you know, why didn't you walk on that? You know why? You're not confident in that, are you? Your confidence level did not exceed, you know, the point where you felt like you could step out. And that's kind of where some Christians are. Does the Bible say God will supply all of our need? How confident are most Christians of that? Are they confident enough to step out? Or would they be like, I would be too. I'm not going out on that. I'm not going. What they really ought to do is make that one of the, have you ever seen those TV screens that makes it look like the shark hit it and it cracks? They should do that with that. Every time you step on it, it looks like it cracks. Never, it's a different thing. Don't get me off track like that. Thank you, Joyce. So we have this thing then. God is pretty consistent, yes? So let me ask you a question then, and then we've got to move on. So do you think that God with us today, us as His children, I'm talking about us, I'm talking about those of us that are here tonight, and those of you listening at home, do you think God will also hold us accountable for things that we think we know and don't really know, or things we think maybe, or things we don't care enough to study and figure it out? Do you think God is going to say, you're still accountable for it whether you're sure about it or not? Yeah, He is. He held Eve accountable, and He admitted that Eve was totally deceived. Eve was outgunned by Satan himself. He still held her accountable for it and all of her descendants. So don't you think that God is still just as serious about that in us today? So it is imperative that we figure out what God actually says. So when we ask a question, okay, okay, we got to move on. So here we go. I'm going to give you the first question. We're not going to really have time to. I was going to talk about Black Lives Matter tonight and mask wearing and Constitution and stuff, and we're going to apply all these things in coming weeks. But one of the most fundamental questions then that we have to wrestle with is one of the next questions. It was the one somebody, it might have been Lou, you, Leah, suggested as the first one. It's in chapter 4. Here's the fundamental question that I believe will actually work its way into all of the other questions we will talk about. If you remember the story, Cain killed Abel. Okay, Abel made a good sacrifice, Cain made a lousy sacrifice, and there's a whole lot of teaching there that we won't get into tonight. God comes to him and God asks him a question, where is Abel your brother? Now, does God know where Abel is? Yes. He's not asking for his knowledge. He's asking because he wants Cain to have to say it. And Cain answered this. He said, I do not know. And here's this expression the world uses all the time, and sometimes they may know where it came from, sometimes not. He said this famous expression, just say it with me, am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? Now, If we were going to ask that in more common language, how would you ask that question? Is my brother's welfare my responsibility? Okay? Am I responsible for my fellow citizens? Yeah. Well, and you could say, I mean, you could take it that way. Am I responsible for someone else's actions? Or just in general. His question really is a very general. He said, am I responsible for the welfare of my brother? And when he said my brother, why did he say my brother as opposed to all mankind? Well, because remember, there weren't that many of them then. But he's really saying, am I responsible for other human beings? That's a big question, isn't it? And isn't that a question that is actually permeating nearly all of our issues today? How about welfare? How about Social Security? How about wearing a mask? This is the perfect example. Look, AJ has a mask on. Laura kind of has a mask on. You don't have to put it on there. Look, here's the thing, and this is what's. I'll be honest with you, the flesh in me absolutely rebels at almost everything my government's doing right now. At every level. There's a part of me that it's just like, if I don't care who it is, if any politician says it, I disagree. And that's wrong, okay? That's wrong. I know, I said that was wrong. I apologize. So... But I've been lied to so much. And I know there's so much deception going on and so much bad information out there. So this thing of wearing a mask, there's just a part of me that says, I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. I should not have to wear a mask. But now here's the thing. And this is where I'm struggling right now with this verse. Because wearing a mask doesn't have anything to do with me not getting sick. It has to do with me not making Beverly sick. Or AJ sick. Or Donna sick. Or Jabez sick. Well, you picked a bad time to sit up front. Look, and I'm looking at this, you know, and again, and I'll be honest with you, this is not to brag, but so far from the beginning of this whole COVID thing, I'm finding that most of the things that I believed right at the beginning, I'm finding out they're right from the very beginning. But I recognize the fact that I could be wrong about this, and maybe my position on wearing a mask is wrong. So I'm asking you, am I my brother's keeper? See, it's a fundamental question. Is it my responsibility to protect? Okay, here, watch this. Do you think that it's my responsibility to protect Laura and AJ? Yes or no? Okay, because you know them and you love them. Wouldn't hurt them for anything in the world, neither would I. But is it my responsibility to protect the people at Walmart? Have you seen the people at Walmart? Have you been to the Marion Walmart? Yeah, I don't think so. You wouldn't say that. Right? I'm right about that, aren't I? All of us Marion dwellers. That's a whole different world up there. Go right ahead, Laura. Ask me a question.
Your mother is at Willowbrook.
My mother is at Willowbrook. I haven't seen her in 4 months. The virus? Yeah, so the question is, how would I feel if the people who worked at Willowbrook, where my mother is, did not wear a mask and gave her the virus? So, I don't know. I don't know, because I'm not there. You know? I'm just being honest with you. It's kind of one of those, it's a hard question for me to answer, Laura, and I'll tell you why. I think if I were a lost person, it'd be a very easy question to answer. But my mother has Alzheimer's. And I'm just answering your question honestly. Yes. My mother has Alzheimer's, and I can think of a whole lot worse things for her than going to heaven and being with Jesus.
Well, okay.
But that's why I say if I was a lost person, I'd be furious if somebody made her sick.
My simplest answer to you is those people in that Mary and Walmart are God's children.
You're going to hold me to that, aren't you? Have you been to the Mary and Walmart? Again, I asked the question. No, just kidding. No, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. My point is, yeah, is it, you know, there's got to be, okay, there's a lot of scripture actually that talks about.
No different than it is our responsibility to.
Say it, to what? Oh, to share the gospel. So is it my responsibility to share the gospel with people I don't know?
Yes.
Is it my responsibility to share the gospel with people I do know?
Yes.
Yeah, how much do we do that? How often do we do that? Am I my brother's keeper? You know, is it my responsibility to to warn people when I see them doing something stupid? Ah, like you mean like Ezekiel 33?
I read that today.
I'm struggling with the mask issue with
God. And we're not going to solve that tonight. No, but that cuts right to the heart of the issue, doesn't it?
But I find myself almost hypocritical in a way.
In you or me?
In all of us, I think.
I was hoping you were just talking about you. Correct.
So should I make everybody not drive to the home tonight?
And that's where we go with this. And that's where it gets real tricky, doesn't it? But do you see how easy it is for us to say, I know what the Bible says about this? But it's not always so easy to know exactly what the Bible says about this. You know. Correct. And this is where we need to talk about things. Is it my responsibility to warn people? If I see something's wrong in the world, should I mind my own business or should I be standing up and speaking out about things that I see? Well, I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to be standing up and speaking out about things I see. We talked about that. Watchmen on the wall. We're not going to get to it tonight, but God, we'll look at it next week. God said, hey, if you are a watchman, that means if you have vision that others don't have and you see an enemy coming, whether it's an internal enemy or an outside enemy, and you keep quiet, he said, their blood is on your hands. Yeah.
I
can't wear the mask.
I literally can't.
I just don't want to give up any more of my rights. And that may or may not be right. I'm not sure yet. Correct. And that's the point. God doesn't address mask wearing. God doesn't address politicians who violate the Constitution. God doesn't address Black Lives Matter, but God does. Correct. The confusion's not in what God said. Isn't this just like Eve? Isn't this what happened to Eve? The question was never about what God said. God said it, it's done. It's just, this is what God said, it's done. God said this, there's no question about what God says. The question comes in when we say, how am I supposed to apply that? This is where the student of the Bible, this is where the children of God, look, this is where the church ought to be packed to try to figure out. This is where homes ought to be, have groups meeting saying, hey, can we talk about this? Can we study this out together? Because we need to know. Not what do I think. Listen, here's where we're going with this in the coming weeks. It doesn't make any difference what I think. It matters what God says.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
It matters what God says. If my views differ from what God said. Look, this is where I'm struggling with this right here. This is where I'm struggling with this mask thing. I don't want to wear that stupid mask. I think we should have let the virus run its course, and sadly a lot of people would have died. It would have been over in 3 weeks. That's what I believe. But it's too late for that. Like, don't take that badly. I'm just telling you, this is how viruses work. I think it was done wrongly from the very beginning. But we're here now. We're here now. So now, what is my responsibility? And I'm struggling and I'm having a hard time with this. And it's like, if God convinces me that I should wear a mask to protect other people, then I have a choice to make, do I not? Now, don't come tell me what you think I should do, okay? Because you can't tell me what God said about it. You can give me some principles, though. You can come in here next week and say, you know, the Bible talks about this. The Bible talks about this, about helping the poor. The Bible talks about protecting the fatherless and the widows and all that. There's a lot of scripture that deal with all these things. They're principles, though. And we have to study and learn and help each other to figure out, this is what it seems like God would have us to do right now.